on this Wednesday, September 30th of the year 2020, at 5 in the morning, the Church of the Lord gathers once more to praise and worship the name of our God. The Lord allows us in this morning life, health, strength. Many of us, or most of us better said, put before the Lord our next day that we were hoping the Lord would grant us. Here we are, the Lord has allowed us that blessing. Now let us go before Him and thank Him. But I also invite you, brethren, let us ask God to forgive us. Let us ask God to give us of His blessing. Maybe throughout the evening we have offended the Lord, and we don't want this service to be more offensive if we are doing it with our faults and sins. That is why we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us. But we're not only going to ask for forgiveness, we're going to ask the Lord to reconcile. That is why this prayer is a prayer of reconciliation, which means to forgive and to give communion, to give friendship, to give that trust. We want the Lord not just to forgive us, we want Him to offer us His communion, to offer us the friendship and the unity of the Spirit by the bond of peace that He provides to His church. Let us ask the Lord for this blessing. And in this morning, all of our offerings may be accepted before His blessed presence. Let us do our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed Father and Savior, O Lord. Having done, brothers, our prayer, we hope in the Lord that He answers it and gives us in this morning His blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. May the peace and the grace of the Lord be in each and every one of your hearts. We're going to begin praising the name of the Lord. We're going to take our hymn number 91, and in this morning we are going to offer to the Lord this hymn that says, "With greatest patience, the bride is awaking, always awaiting her bridegroom and Lord. He will come soon. Do not sleep, but be watchful. Burn bright your lamp with the fire of love." And it is a hymn of dawning, a hymn that we sometimes sing in the morning as a manifestation to the Lord. Lord, You have allowed me to be in Your church all this time, all these years, and today, just like every day, we are awaiting Your return, and we are here to praise Your name. Number 91, we will sing it for the honor and the glory of the Lord. With greatest patience the bride is awaking, always awaiting her bridegroom and Lord. He will come soon, do not sleep, but be watchful. Burn bright your lamp with the fire of love. Come, Jesus Christ, oh yes, come once again. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus Christ, oh yes, come once again. Come soon, for Your bride awaits. If our time waiting becomes overbearing, in just a moment we'll all pass away. The precious star of the dawning will soon shine. It will shine deep within all our souls. Come Jesus Christ, oh yes, come once again. Come Jesus Christ, come Jesus, come. Come Jesus Christ, oh yes, come once again. Come soon, for your bride awaits. O Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, our beloved. Your bride waits for the sound of your voice. Her dress is cleansed from the black stain of all sin. So that they shall be encountered with joy. Come Jesus Christ, oh yes, come once again. Come Jesus, come. Come Jesus, come. Come Jesus Christ, oh yes, come once again. Come soon for your bride. Time is advancing, O Christians, keep watching. For soon the trumpet will sound the great call. Time is advancing, let us keep on marching. See that our bridegroom is set to return. Come Jesus Christ, oh yes, come once again. Come Jesus, come. Come Jesus, come. Come Jesus Christ, oh yes, come once again. Come soon, for your bride awaits. For the honor and glory of the Lord, as I mentioned before we sung our hymn, every day that the Lord allows us life, we come before His presence. And as one of our brethren said, moved by the Spirit of the Lord, that the Lord gives us life, therefore we give Him our first breath. We give Him our first steps, our first thoughts, our first fruits of our lips, which is our voice. We offer it to the Lord because He has protected us, fulfilling what the man of God, David, said that God fulfilled for him. You and I have also experienced that when he said that he laid down to bed. He slept and awoke because the hand of the Lord sustained him. You and I have also experienced that it is because of the Lord. That is why we come once more at this hour, early in the morning, we come to sing to the Lord. Not only, brothers, as a manifestation of gratitude, but also as a manifestation of hope. Lord, we are waiting for you. Every single day that passes, the Church of the Lord continues to wait for the Lord because He made a solemn promise that He would return. Maybe the Lord will return for us today, tomorrow, whether the Lord returns for His church as a collective group, or whether He comes for each one of us individually through an illness, or perhaps through an accident, or however the Lord wishes to come and claim the life that He gave us. But whether if today is our last day or tomorrow, we don't know. All we know is that today, here we are with the Lord, and we wish to live all of our life in His service. May the Lord help us so that we may fulfill what we sung in our hymn. Time is advancing. We must be faithful. We must continue to serve the Lord now more than ever, because as the Spirit of the Lord says, our salvation is closer today than when we first believed. Blessed be the name of our God. I'm going to read a psalm, brethren. After this psalm, we're going to sing, we're going to pray in favor of the apostle of the Lord. We're going to ask the Lord to bless the apostle of Jesus Christ, our brother Nason Joaquin Garcia. What a blessing, brothers, God has given us to be not just members of His church, but to have in this time a man that preaches the word of our God. What What desire people have for there to be a man of God. Sometimes people, brothers, rely on what the Spirit of the Lord says in the Bible and speaks about the great men that were chosen by God and heard the voice of the Lord. But that was in times past. That was before, and none of those men of God can today give the blessing that they had in that moment. Today, none of those men are here, but we have a man of God whose name is Nason Joaquin Garcia, and we're going to ask God to bless him. We're going to ask God to be with him. We're going to tell the Lord to bless him. There was a brother that asked me, when you go and you preach, do you say that the apostle of the Lord sent you? I don't, because what are they going to think? And I said, no, we have this blessing and we have to manifest it to the world. We have to announce it to the world that yes, a man of God has sent us to preach the word of our God. May the Lord bless our brother Nason. May the Lord be with him. Brothers, our desire is always constant that the Lord be with him, prosper him, and fill him with joy and with health in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers, I'm going to read a psalm, and after our psalm, we will ask the Lord to bless the apostle of the Lord. I'm going to read the psalm that says like this, for the honor and the glory of the Lord. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightning lights the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his justice, and all the peoples see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved idols, who boast of images. Worship him, all of you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of the saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright of heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you just men, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For the honor and glory of the Lord, let us pray for the apostle of Jesus Christ in the name of the Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, my God. God. May the Lord continue blessing the man of God. And we say our choice of words is continue, because we know that God blesses the man of God. God is always by his side. That is why our choice of words is not wrong. It is correct before the Lord. May God continue to bless him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing another hymn to continue praising the name of the Lord. Our hymn number 550, The Name of Jesus is So Sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. the sweetest name of Jesus. 550, we will sing it, and may it be for the honor and glory of the Lord. The name of Jesus is so sweet, I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. The sweetest name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, worthy of praise forever. I love the name of him whose heart knows all my griefs and peace impart, who bids all anxious fears depart. I love the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, worthy of praise forever. That name I fondly love to hear, it never fails my heart to cheer. Its music dries the falling tear. Exalt of Jesus, Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, worthy of praise forever. No word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, let its praises ever swell. Oh, praise of Jesus. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, worthy of praise forever.
For the honor and glory of the Lord. What a beautiful hymn. How precious, how beautiful is the name of the Lord. How beautiful is for us our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows all my griefs and peace imparts, who bids all anxious fears depart. I love the name of Jesus. May our hymn be for the honor and glory of the Lord. I invite my brethren, following the course of the order that the Spirit of the Lord has established for our consecrations, we dedicate a full prayer for the ministerial body. May the Lord bless firstly the family that he has given his holy apostle. God has given his apostle family, including his wife, his children, and his grandchildren. May the Lord bless them. May the Lord be with them. May the Lord be with our sister Alma, with her children, with her grandchildren. May the Lord bless our sister Eva as well, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray for all the ministerial body, all of the pastors, all of the deacons, the ministers, the missionaries. May the Lord bless each and every one of them. Do not forget, my brethren, you that are watching the prayer in your home, don't forget that the apostle of the Lord has also sent a minister to take care of your soul, a minister that guides and shepherds your local church. Pray for them as well. That is also the apostolic commandment, that we also pray for those that shepherd our souls. May the Lord bless your minister, their families. May the Lord bless all the ministers all over the world. There are many missionaries that are everywhere in different parts of the world. Sometimes, brothers, in places that you and I would not imagine that there would be a church or that there would be brothers, there they are preaching the word of God. May the Lord bless them. We don't know their necessities, brothers. We don't know their sufferings. We don't know the things that maybe they encounter as trouble every single day. But the God that knows it, may God bless them. The Lord that knows all things, may He comfort them and prosper them in the name of Jesus Christ. I also ask that you pray for your brother. We have a beautiful word that we're going to remember on this day. May the Lord use my lips. May the Lord open your hearts. And together, may we rejoice in the remembrance of the word of the Lord. Let us do our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord have received our prayer and all our consecration that has served as a cleansing of our soul, as a preparation so that the word of God may fall on good land, and may that word come to help us continue in the path of the Lord. I invite you that we open our Bibles, brothers. We're going to take a few verses because it would be it would not be easy or very helpful if we took all the verses of the Sunday school, everything, try to cram it in 20 minutes. Brothers, that would not be fruitful. But we're going to select a few verses, and we're going to hope in the Lord that this remembrance be for His honor and His glory, and be for our edifying. Let's read in the book of Psalms, chapter 102. And we're going to read verse number 25, from 25 to verse number 27. We're going to read this first opening verse so that after my brethren may take their seats and we may continue hearing the word of God. It says like this, brothers, for the honor and glory of the Lord. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. For the honor and glory of the Lord, please take your seats, my brethren. And I invite you that you continue to pay attention. I don't ask that you continue praying, because we cannot pray and hear the word of God at the same time. We already took our moment to pray. We already prayed for the brother who's going to remember. That is why this is not a moment to pray anymore. This is a moment to hear. Because we cannot speak at the same time that someone else is speaking. And we are referring to the Lord. In our consecration, we speak to God. But in the remembrance of the word of the Lord speaks to us. Therefore, our ears open to hear His word, to receive His message in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this Sunday school, brothers, we heard the topic with the title that says, Onward. And as a subtitle, Making Good Use of Our Time. It is a word that we constantly hear in the Church of the Lord, and it is also part of many of our hymns, part of words that we use in our church, not as slogans, because we don't have slogans in the church. Some people may feel or may use those terms incorrectly. Oh, that's the slogan of the church. No, it's not the slogan of the church, but it is the purpose of our Christian life. The purpose of our Christian life is to continue forward, to continue onward. And that is why our topic is more than just a verb, because the word onward is referring not just to a direction, which would describe an adverb. It is not just referring to a direction. It is referring to a life that you and I live, a life that is lived going onward in this path, because you and I have chosen to serve God in this path. And it is important, brothers, that we remember, I mentioned earlier, we cannot cram all the verses of the Sunday school, but we're going to select a few verses, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us so that in this morning we may walk out and walk back to our homes, walk back to our works, go to our jobs, and return to our schools or whatever activity you do, but return with the blessing of our God. The Spirit of the Lord came to speak to us on Sunday and to mention, brothers, that time does not apply to our God, because our God is of old, it says in the hymn. Of old is an expression most commonly used in centuries past, an expression used to say that it is something that has existed or pre-existed something that has lived before a moment that is lived in that current time. Of old, the stories of old, they used to say, the legends of old, these are things that were spoken before. Now we are saying in our psalm, you are of old. Of old you laid the foundation. Your years are throughout all generations, we say in verse number 25. The heavens are the work of your hands. Does that mean that God predates all things that are created? Yes, of course. The Lord has come before, and the Lord will come after all of these things. Because let us not think that the end of the world is also linked to the end of God. No, brothers, the end of the world is going to come and is going to happen, and God will still continue being. Before the creation of this world, God already existed. Therefore, when God created time in the book of Genesis, it tells us that God created the seasons. God created the moon, the sun, all of these things to establish changes in the life of His creation, not just the life of man. It was established to mark time, to establish a time frame, existence for all of His creation. Is this earth also subject to time? Of course. How many years have passed by, brothers, and we see that sometimes things that used to be before are no longer there because of erosion, or because of, as we see in the polar ice caps, 30 years ago there was more ice, today it has changed. Time, brothers, is above all things here in this world in terms of its existence. Never can we put our existence above time and supersede the laws that God has already established. No, God established time to mark the lifespan of all creation, whether it be the constellations in the heavens, whether it be the stars, the sun, and the moon. All of these things are subject to time as well? Yes, of course. All of these things in the world, and most especially you and I, all the world, we are subject to time, subject to the process of aging, subject, brothers, to the process through which things lose its value. And as Apostle Paul said in his letter, speaking about the old covenant in the book of Hebrews, brothers, all these things that become old become obsolete and forgotten. And you and I are subject to that. We are subject to that because we live as human beings in a place where God determined something to mark our lifespan, and that is time. If we look, brothers, at how the world considers time and how they try to measure it, it is really interesting. We find a very, very great array and a great diverse pool of opinions in terms of time. Scientific research concerning time and space is so vast. They try to understand how and why time works the way that it does. They have what is called the space and time continuum, which is not our topic, but I just mentioned it so that we can see how the world tries to really understand time. We have movies, books, works of fiction, works of literature, studies, journals, everything, brothers, that focus on time. Movies, books, again, we repeat, that focus on changing time, altering time, on alternative realities, alternative timelines. And these are things that we see in our everyday life. Down to the smallest detail, which is when you and I say, I wish I could go back and change that. And you and I, brothers, have to understand all of this culture of time that exists in our world, which is the idea of wanting to change, or a desire, brothers, or even a work of fiction or a production that revolves around changing time or understanding time. Why does that happen? All of these are projections. They're projections of humanity, of their desires. Brother Benjamin, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that all of those works are the product of the desires of people to change time, to stop time. You watch a film or you read a book about changing something, an event in the future, and that is a projection of the author or of the person who is trying to make a statement saying that if only we could go and change certain things. But we have to understand, at least you and I that are in the Church of the Lord, we understand this. We are not above time. The Spirit of the Lord said that very clearly in the Sunday school. Our God has established that to mark not just the seasons, but also our lifespan. In the book of Psalms, chapter 90, it says in verse 11 and 12 that the life of man is 70 years, and if they are a little bit more fortunate or blessed, they live to be 80, but it is not 80 years old with strength and with health. It is 80 years old with many complications in the body, many weaknesses, because the body deteriorates and ages. But our God remains the same forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we say in our hymn, all of these things are going to change. All of these things are going to be removed. Just look at humanity, all of the population of the world, 7.8 billion people living in the world. We are a different generation when we compare it to the generation that lived 100 years ago. Even the population that lives in the world changes. Not just the atmosphere or the things, everything changes, brothers. Today we are here, tomorrow we are not here. The apostle of the Lord, our brother Samuel Joaquin, in 2012, he wrote a letter to the church, and in his letter, he made a very, very beautiful statement, but also left us teaching when he said, God in his eternity, yesterday, made man. Today, he lets him live, and tomorrow, he will come for his life. That is true, because our God, brothers, is an everlasting God that sees all things. God has seen the rise and the fall of many people, many empires, many nations. The Lord today is also, in His great mercy, allowing an opportunity for people to find salvation through His holy church. Because we have to be bold and we have to be clear, brothers. And it is not just to disrespect. No, brothers. It is to be clear that there is only one church, and that is the church that the Lord has established. God has appointed a place where you and I can be saved. Now, we have to understand, how many more years do I have of life? How many more years is God going to allow me? How many of our brothers and sisters began this year with great plans, but the Lord determined that because of an illness, of this virus, this pandemic, many of our brothers are already sleeping in the Lord. They're already resting with the Lord. What does this show us? This shows us that we don't know, brothers, what's going to happen tomorrow. And we don't know how much time we have left. We repeat, this does not apply to our God. God will be here forever, everlasting. God does not live in this universe, because there are people that study and they say that time exists all across the universe and it acts in all the universe. Well, what does that mean? That means that God doesn't live in this universe. God doesn't live in anything that we can see with our physical eyes. God transcends all understanding. God transcends all human discovery. The things that our eyes cannot see, that is where our God lives, because our God is everlasting. Therefore, the life that we live today is an opportunity that the Lord gives us to earn our salvation. And I'm saying earn because salvation in the kingdom of the Lord is not going to be for everyone, but for those who served the Lord. And that is why the Spirit of the Lord came to remind us, brothers, that being already almost 2 months after the Holy Supper, we have to remember, brothers, that time is passing by so quickly. It feels as if yesterday we were in the Holy Supper. Today, that week, those days are passing. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in 1 year? Will we see 1 year? We don't know. The only thing that we know is that today God gives us life. And this is the purpose of God, not just for His church. This is the purpose of God for all humanity. And I invite you that we read, brothers, in the book of Acts, chapter 17. We're going to read an interaction in which Apostle Paul spoke to the Athenians, those of Athens in Greece. We're going to read chapter 17, verse number 22. We're going to read until verse 28. And it says like this, for the honor and glory of the Lord. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made of hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, since he gives life to all, breath and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also one of your own poets said, for we are also his offspring, for the honor and glory of the Lord. Apostle Paul saw that in this city, these people had their own forms of worship, as it happens with almost every country or culture. But what Apostle Paul saw was that it wasn't no ordinary worship. It was a worship to idols or to gods that they believed existed. And in the middle of all of those gods, he saw an altar with an inscription that said, to the unknown God. Now, does that mean that the Athenians put that altar for specifically for Jehovah the Lord? No, because they didn't know about him. They simply put an altar to give reverence and respect to any God that existed that they were not aware of. And I hope I'm making myself clear. The Greeks, even though perhaps they had heard about the customs of the Jewish and their gods, they didn't necessarily put that there for the Jewish people's gods. No, brothers, they didn't put it. They put it simply as a reverence and respect to gods that they did not know, that they ignored from other regions. We don't know their gods, but we'll set up here an altar to the unknown God. And Apostle Paul came and he saw that altar with that inscription, the unknown God. And it so happened that the God that Apostle Paul was preaching, the God that had called him, that was a God that they did not know, but it also happened to be the only true living God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he came and he preached to them in that altar, that inscription that says to the unknown God, there is offerings to a God that you do not know, or multiple. Because again, it could have been many gods from different regions. And he said to them, that God that you do not know, that is the God that I come to preach to you. The God that created heavens and earth, the one that gives breath to all, he does not live in houses made by the hands of men. He cannot be bothered by anything of this world. Even the man of God, David, in one of his psalms, he says, brothers, who can tell God? What are you doing? Who can question God? Why do you do this? And in his psalm, he said, speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, God was saying through that psalm, he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. Meaning that if God had any necessity, which he doesn't, but if he had any necessity, would he come to humanity? No, brothers. He doesn't need anything from us. But that man of God, Paul, he was preaching to them and saying, that God that gives life to all, that God that gave health to you and to me, and he gave us breath, the God that even one of your poets recognized as saying that we are all his offspring, well, that God is the one that I come to preach to you and to tell you that that God has established boundaries. What has he established, brothers and sisters? Boundaries that you and I cannot cross. If God has established that I will live 65 years, I cannot change that. I cannot cross that, because that is a boundary, a pre-appointed time that the Spirit of God in his omniscience has already established. I cannot change that. But God gives us this life, and Apostle Paul was saying, he's giving us this opportunity with one purpose, that we may serve God. That we may what? That we may serve God. That we may seek him, that we may find him. And then look at the choice. That's why it's important to really analyze the choice of words that these men inspired by God used. He said, so that some way we may grope after him. Today, the word grope is normally connected to a negative connotation or negative definition, but we understand what the word groping means. Groping means to grab. And that is what Apostle Paul was saying, so that we may grope. So that we may, it says in the King James Version, so that we may feel after God. Meaning that we're trying to seek God with our hands. And this is very important, and I want to break this down. Please give me a few minutes and we're going to analyze this. How hard is it to walk into your house at 10, 11 in the night and try to make a meal without the lights being on? How easy is it to cook a meal with the lights off? How easy is it if I'm trying to shave with the lights off? Or if I'm trying to change, or if I'm trying to make my way to my room with the lights off. How easy is it? It is not easy. We have to be touching things to make sure that we're not falling. We have to be trying, making sure, brothers, that we are using other senses, because we cannot rely on the senses of our eyes anymore. We need to use our other senses. We need to use our hands. We need to use our ears to hear. That's why it is very telling that Apostle Paul uses this choice of words, because he is saying, so that we may grope. Meaning that we have to make good use of our other senses so that we may reach God and serve Him. Meaning that it isn't only what I see. I have to make use of other things in order for me to find God. But I don't see God. There are people that say, I don't see God. I only see violence. Well, yeah, you're using your eyes. Use your other senses, which are your spiritual senses, your faith, your love, your patience, spiritual virtues that God gives to man. Those are the senses that we use to look for God, understanding, reasoning. That is why Apostle Pablo was saying, brothers, Apostle Paul was saying, it is very important that we try at least to feel God, and you will discover that God is not far from you. God is near you. We live in Him. We move in Him. And then Apostle Paul continues, and he says, brothers, in verse number 29, therefore, since we are offspring of God, we should not think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead for the honor and glory of the Lord. Apostle Paul is saying, He is overlooking these times of ignorance. God is willing to forgive all these bad things, he is saying, if we seek Him, because He has appointed a day in which He is going to judge the world, in which He is going to judge everyone by their actions. It says, brothers, God created time with His word, and He too is with His word. He too is who with His word will cause time to cease. Time which was created for us will one day cease to exist, and the day it does, man will no longer have the opportunity to seek after God. When man himself ceases to exist, he will no longer have access to time and may not therefore seek after God, because such an opportunity would have already escaped him. Let us fulfill God's purpose by making good use of time that God allows us on this earth, redeeming the days, months, and years of our life by seeking after God. And as the Apostle of the Lord said, there is no better way of making good use of time than by seeking after our God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is time for everything, the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I'm not reading it because of time. You can write it down. Every activity that is done under the heavens has its appointed time. And the Lord, it says also in the scriptures, you made everything beautiful in its own time. There is time to serve God. Despite, brothers, the belief of some people, that some people say, brothers, no, I'm too busy. We understand. We are all busy and we all have many multiple occupations that worry us. But there is always time for the Lord. There is always time to seek the Lord. That is why the Spirit of the Lord is telling us, it is wrong to say that we have no time for the Lord. To hear the Word of God, of course we do. We can always make time. There's a very interesting poem. It is a poem, brothers. A poem written by men. It wasn't written by men inspired by God. It is a poem written by men. I read it in Spanish. But I remember that there was that poem that said, and it was referring to time, referring to the fact that God invited him, but you said you didn't have any time. I invited you to pray, but you said you didn't have time. I invited you to serve, but you say you didn't have time. And at the end of that poem, it is just a poem, but I'm taking it so that we can draw out spiritual substance also. And he said that when that man arrived to heaven, he asked God, God, I am here. But God didn't find his name. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to write your name. And it is a very interesting analysis, not by men of God, I repeat, not by the church, by the people outside that understand that if we don't give time for God, when we die, what is God going to offer us? today. God is giving us time to serve Him, life and health. We must take advantage of this opportunity. We must take advantage, brothers. Why is the Spirit of God talking to us about this? Because now more than ever, it is important that we evaluate, Church of the Lord, how our time is spent. And if it is necessary, we need to make changes. We have no time to waste in idleness. We have no time to waste in gossip. We have no time to waste prying. There is no room for that which places our salvation at imminent risk. There is no room for turning away from our heavenly goal. Our time is all consecrated to continue working for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only the evil-hearted waste their time in prying, in gossip, in inquiring, and doing whatever is necessary to see what others say and do. Let us always keep in mind that slander is a very powerful weapon of the evil one that always threatens us. It's specifically designed to annihilate our faith. It is specific. Its specific function is to damage and destroy it completely. The Spirit of the Lord is telling us, we have no time for that. And I want to invite you that we read a few verses. Our time is going by very quickly, but I'm going to invite you that we read in the book of Romans. We're going to read chapter number 13, verse number 11, in the book of Romans. Chapter 13, verse 11, for the honor and glory of the Lord. And do this, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its desires for the honor and glory of the Lord. Apostle Paul is saying, it is no longer time to rest. It is now time to awake. It is time to be active. It is time to be serving the Lord, because he says, today our salvation is closer than when we first came. When you were baptized in the Church of the Lord, we grabbed hold. That is why we say, when a brother is baptized, we say, the brothers that are going to grab hold of eternal life, because that is when they grab it. That is when their first encounter with eternal life and salvation. But as the years pass by, if we continue serving, we become closer to our goal, closer to our objective. How sad would it be for a brother that, having come so far, loses that salvation because he was not careful? So many years of hard work and effort. Why, brother? Because you paid attention to gossip. Because you paid attention to the words of someone that is filled with bitterness. Because you heard someone that never understood the teaching. How sad that that brother or sister loses his crown in heaven because he gave time to idleness or to gossip or even worse. There may be people, brothers, that slander, speak bad, devote all of their time to criticize. Let us not waste our time, brothers. How sad. Really, I consider it, brothers, very sad that someone would dedicate all their life, all their time, when they wake up to the evening, dedicate all their time to slander, dedicate all their time to gossip, dedicate all their time to find ways to disrupt, brothers, the path of a brother or sister. How sad. And in reality, brothers, we feel sorry for them. It is not necessarily that we feel angry. No, we feel sorry because we understand, brothers, that in reality they want to fill the void in their heart, but they are doing it the wrong way. But even for them, there is opportunity if they come to seek the Spirit of the Lord that will give them salvation. Brothers, there is always something to do. There is always work being done in the Church of the Lord. Check with your local minister. Check with the local projects, commissions, with the jobs that are being done in your church. Brothers, there's always something to do. There is no time for us to be idle. There is no time for us to really just, brothers, be sitting down waiting for someone to tell me what to do. No, brothers, there's always something to do in the Church of the Lord. In our hearts, today, there is decision, peace. And the Spirit of the Lord is inviting us. Let us not devote time to that. And if somebody does it, let them use their free will to do it. But you and I, we have more important things. We have more important things to do, which is use our time to serve our God. There are brothers that are going to school, brothers that are focusing in their work, brothers that are focusing on doing something for their family, and obviously for the glory of God. Is that offensive? No, it is not, brother. Focus your time on those things. As Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, follow all things that are righteous, the things that are just, do them. Those things that are honorable and of good name, and the God of peace will be with you. I invite you that we read one last verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to verse number 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. We're just going to read verse number 13 to 15. Philippians 3, 13 to 15 for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus for the honor and glory of the Lord. I want to read, brothers, some words of the Apostle of Jesus Christ that he left us as teaching to enjoy and to remember so that we may always know how we are spending our time. It says like this for the honor and glory of the Lord. That's why when I say we are not created for time but for eternity, I do not refer to this flesh, to the material body that we have, but to the soul, that which lives inside this body, which was created by God to obtain immortality. As strangers and foreigners, we should live redeeming time that God allows us on this earth, making good use of the days, months, and years to seek after God. There is no better way of making good use of time than by seeking after our God. This is my counsel. This is my teaching. Apostle of Jesus Christ, Nason Joaquin Garcia, beautiful province, Guadalajara, Jalisco, December 31st, 2018. Brothers, may everything be for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Brothers, I invite you that we do our prayer in which we're going to put in the hands of God all of the necessities. Let us pray. May God bless the medical, the healthcare workers. May God bless the authorities. May God bless everyone who is suffering because of this illness. Some are suffering because of the physical or the illness itself. Others are suffering because of the financial repercussions of this situation. May God bless everyone. We have a necessity before the presence of the Lord. May God answer it in the name of Jesus Christ. And on this day that we begin, may it be filled with the blessing of our God. Let us do our prayer, and may it be for the honor and glory of the Lord. Before, brothers, we depart, we're going to sing the first verse of our hymn number 230, which says, "Glory to you, divine Jesus. Glory for all of your kindness." First verse and chorus, kneeling down, and after, we will worship our God. Let us do it for the honor and glory of the Lord. Glory to you, divine Jesus.
your kindness. Glory eternal to your mercy, beloved Jesus Christ. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. To our Savior and Lord. Brothers, may everything that we have offered to the Lord in this hour, may the Lord have received it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From this city of General Santos City in the Philippines, our desire is that the peace and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in each and every one of your hearts, and may the Lord bless you all.